case of the morning, Allstate Insurance versus Tozer. Mr. Barnard.
May it please the court, I'm Larry Barnard and I represent the appellant, Allstate Insurance Company. The issue before the court in this case is a straightforward legal issue, whether a bystander claim of negligent infliction of emotional distress is subject to the same per-person limit of liability as the claim for wrongful death which gave rise to that emotional distress under the terms of the Allstate policy at issue in this case. The Allstate policy provides that the limit stated for each person for bodily injury is our total limit of liability for all damages because of bodily injury sustained by one person, including all damages sustained by anyone else as a result of that bodily injury. In this case, we have claims of negligent infliction of emotional distress asserted by Nicholas and Christina Keltner, which clearly fall within that policy provision. The damages they sustained were as the result of witnessing the death of their brother in the auto accident. Under the plain and unambiguous language of the Allstate policy, those claims have to be included in the brother's per-person limit of liability for the wrongful death claim. Both the district court and the appellees in this case have confused the issue of the right of the Keltner children to recover under the tort of negligent infliction of emotional distress with the issue which is squarely before this court, that is, the interpretation of the Allstate policy. In fact, the opinion of the district court in this case fails to make any discussion of the language of the Allstate policy at all.
It just as a detail, why are the Keltners, the victims, why are they parties? Because your quarrel is with the insured, not with the...
They were joined in the suit as in the declaratory judgment action as interested parties, and as made clear here, the Tozers as well, the insured, Natalie Tozer, is a party to this action. Her counsel apparently has not chosen to appear at this oral argument. But it's the Keltners who have, in essence,
is
carried the...
Is this common when you seek declaratory relief against an insured that you join the plaintiffs in the underlying suit?
Yes, Your Honor, it's common for this reason, so that the plaintiffs in the underlying suit will be bound by any decision. If the plaintiffs are not joined in this
but
litigation...
But the plaintiffs have no contractual relationship with you.
That's absolutely true.
Why would they have any rights against the insurance company?
Your Honor,
it's not a direct action state like Wisconsin.
No, it's not a direct action state. However, let's assume for purposes of argument that the case goes to trial and the Keltners recover a judgment, the children recover a judgment for negligent infliction of emotional distress. Right. At that point, there's going to be proceeding supplemental issued, and Allstate, the insurance company, is going to be brought in, and this issue of whether or not the limits of liability apply to that claim are going to be litigated in the underlying matter.
Because the insurance policy would be an asset of the defendant.
Exactly, Your
Honor. Okay, thank you.
And it's for that reason we try to bring them all together in this litigation.
Right.
There is a split of authority among all the jurisdictions who've ruled on this case with regard to this issue. This is the first case in Indiana that's addressed this precise issue. However, in our view, the better reason cases have concluded that claims for emotional distress arising out of witnessing an injury or death of a loved one are included in the per-person limit of liability for the loved one whose injury or death gave rise to the emotional distress. And we believe that the Wisconsin appellate cases are highly instructive with regard to what the Indiana courts would do in this case. In the Wisconsin cases, there are two main cases. In the Estate of Gocha case, a case involving similar language and a bystander emotional distress claim, the court noted that Wisconsin, like Indiana, recognized bystander emotional distress claims for family members. However, the court noted that the question was not whether the plaintiff suffered a compensable injury, but rather the interpretation of the language of the policy and whether the policy provided that those claims are included under one per-person limit of liability. The court concluded that but for the wrongful death, the bystanders in that case would not have suffered emotional injury, and therefore the limit of liability for the wrongful death claim applied to those emotional distress claims as well. Admittedly, that case was a little different than our case because that case did not involve people who were actually involved in the vehicle that was involved in the accident. However, the Wisconsin Supreme Court in Mullen versus Walczak addressed that precise circumstance. Husband and wife involved in a motor vehicle accident. Husband is injured. Wife is killed. He asserts not only a personal injury claim on behalf of himself and a wrongful death claim, but he asserts a claim for negligent infliction of emotional distress as a result of witnessing his wife's death. The Wisconsin Supreme Court in that case rejected the argument that the estate of Gotcha decision should not apply because the husband sustained injuries in the accident. Instead, the court focused on the fact that he was seeking to recover damages as a result of witnessing the death of his wife. And under the policy language in that case, which is similar to the policy language in this case, any damages sustained by all person as a result of the wife's death were covered by her person limit of liability. And that's precisely the circumstance in this case. The Supreme Court of Connecticut reached a similar decision recently in the Galgano case cited in the briefs. In that case, the court specifically rejected the argument that a separate per-person limit of liability must be applied under Connecticut law.
Is this standard? Is this standard auto insurance language? Your bodily injury provision.
Yes, and under Indiana law, the provisions are approved by the State Department of Insurance.
But I mean, is this nationwide?
For Allstate. That is the standard policy for Allstate nationwide. There was no specific Indiana endorsement dealing with that language.
The language here specifically is arising out of his bodily injury.
That's exactly right, Your Honor. And in this case, there can be no dispute that the claim we're talking about, the emotional distress claim, arose out of the death of their brother Kyle.
I have to ask you another peripheral question.
Yes, Your Honor.
In your insurance policy, you define bodily injury, physical harm to the body, etc., but it does not include any venereal disease. Now, this is just an automobile policy. How could a person sustain a venereal disease as a result of an automobile accident?
I'm not sure it's possible, Your Honor. If I had to speculate, I would assume that's the standard bodily injury definition that is contained in all of the Allstate policies, whether they be automobile,
so
homeowners. I don't know, Your Honor.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
In this case, Allstate does not dispute the legal right of the Keltner children to pursue a claim for emotional distress damages as a result of witnessing the death of their brother. Nor does Allstate dispute that the Keltner children's personal injury claims for the injuries they sustained are subject to a separate per-person limit of liability. Finally, Allstate does not dispute that emotional distress claims are generally covered under the terms of their policy. However, all of those issues are not the issue before the court in this case. The issue
did
before
these siblings, did they incur any, because since they were in the accident, did they incur any physical injury?
There's an allegations in their complaint and the underlying cause of action that they did sustain physical injuries.
And that would be covered.
And that's covered.
By your multiple victim.
That's right. And that is subject to a separate per-person limit of liability. But that's a separate and distinct claim, even as outlined in the complaint, from their claim.
Were they seriously injured?
No, Your Honor. They were not seriously.
So that's why this emotional distress is the big issue.
Yes, it is, Your Honor. Under the plain and unambiguous language of the policy, the claims for emotional distress were as a result of the death of the brother Kyle and therefore subject to the limit of liability. The district court in this case failed to specifically address that language, the as a result of language of the Allstate policy.
It's arising out of.
Thank you, Your Honor. Failed to address that specific any specific language of the Allstate policy, for that matter. The district court said two things. One, that a claim for emotional distress under Indiana law is separate and independent and not derivative. Well, that really has no bearing on the specific language in the Allstate policy. Indeed, the courts in Wisconsin and Connecticut, in Mullen and Galgano, have addressed that precise issue and said that is simply a matter of no relevance. It either arises out of the bodily injury or it does not. Whether it's derivative or separate and independent is of no consequence. The second thing the district court said in this case was that The emotional distress claims constitute bodily injury within the meaning of the Allstate policy, and therefore they must be subject to a separate per-person limit of liability. Well, first, they certainly don't fall squarely within the definition of bodily injury, which the court noted includes physical harm to the body, sickness, disease, death, venereal disease, a few other things. But clearly they don't fall within that. So what the court did in this case is it relied on two Indiana cases which have discussed this issue of bodily injury definitions in an insurance policy. In the Wayne Township Board of School Commissioners case, the court stated that in concluding that emotional distress arising out of a child molestation constituted bodily injury under an insurance policy, the court reasoned that the emotional damage resulted from the physical intrusion on the child's body. However, the court went on to note that they agreed with the majority of jurisdictions holding that the term bodily injury does not include emotional damage that does not arise from bodily touching. In this case, the emotional damage did not result from any injuries they sustained in the accident. The emotional damages resulted from the fact they saw their brother killed. And in fact, if you look at the what the court says in the Wayne Township case, the court makes this note. The act which SM alleges is the source of her emotional trauma is Borger's physical intrusion on her body. That's to be compared with the allegation of the underlying complaint in this case that the Keltner children suffered emotional distress as a result of seeing the injuries and death of their brother. So in this case, unlike Wayne Township, we have a case that's not a result of a physical intrusion on the body, but simply witnessing the death of the brother. The district court in this case seized upon a footnote in the Wayne Township case. At the conclusion, in what could be termed as kind of the ultimate dicta, after reaching the conclusion that it was bodily injury in this case because it resulted from physical touching, the district court at the end of the opinion drops a footnote that says that their conclusion is in harmony with Indiana law governing causes of action for emotional injury, which at that time required physical impact in order to assert a claim for negligent infliction of emotional distress. Well, the district court, seizing on that footnote, says, well, here, in this case, we have an impact. They were involved in the accident. And under the Indiana Supreme Court case of Schomburg, that would be sufficient to allow them to pursue a claim for negligent infliction of emotional distress. Therefore, this must be bodily injury. Well, the problem with that analysis is, one, Schomburg's no longer good law in Indiana. No longer does a relative need physical impact in order to assert a claim for negligent infliction of an emotional distress. Instead, under the Groves case decided by the Indiana Supreme Court in 2000, what is needed is if one witnesses a close family member, brother, sister, mother, daughter, son, father, seriously injured in an accident, that is sufficient to permit that party to pursue a claim for negligent infliction of emotional distress under Indiana law. The question about
bodily injury includes emotional distress. Is that what it amounts to?
It can include emotional distress if it results.
But I mean, just the term is allowed to. I'm not talking about what your policy covers, but the term bodily injury apparently includes emotional distress.
Well, the Indiana Court of Appeals has said that term includes emotional distress only if it results from a physical intrusion on body. And they said so not only in the Wayne Township case, but then they said it again in the subsequent Armstrong versus Federated case, which is cited in our briefs. So as a matter of Indiana law, only if it results from a physical intrusion to the body is emotional distress considered bodily injury under Indiana law. The important thing to note about the Groves versus Taylor case, which was in Groves, the Indiana Supreme Court adopted the approach taken by the Wisconsin Supreme Court concerning who can recover and under what circumstances someone can recover for emotional distress damages. The Indiana Supreme Court would do the same thing in this case. They would follow the approach taken by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, who had decided the same issue of emotional distress, and determine that those emotional distress claims are subject to a separate per-person limit of liability. For these reasons, we believe this court should reverse the judgment of the district court and remand this case with instructions to enter judgment in favor of Allstate.
Thank you, Mr. Barnard. Mr. Dietz.
May it please the court. There is clearly a split of authority throughout the country on the issue we're here on today. Although this precise issue hasn't been decided by the Indiana court.
At the risk of seeming simple-minded, the insurance policy seems exceedingly clear. This single-person limit applies to all damages sustained by anyone else as a result of that bodily injury. So the brother was killed. That's the bodily injury. And the damages in issue were sustained by someone else, the siblings. Well, why isn't that the end of the case? I mean, regardless of what Indiana tort law is, why isn't that perfectly clear?
Well, Your Honor, I think that the effect of that language is not clear. I think Judge Cudahy talked before about the rising out of language. I think the specific language of this Allstate policy is what Judge Posner cited, that the bodily injury includes all damage sustained by anyone else as a result of that bodily injury. And I think that that language has been interpreted differently throughout the nation.
I don't understand how it is susceptible to interpretation. It's perfectly clear. You know, it deals, and you agree it deals with bystander cases, don't you?
I think it depends on what context, Your Honor.
Excuse me?
I think it depends on what context you're referring to.
That I don't understand. Suppose a pure bystander case, they see the accident and experience emotional distress. Surely that's subject to this one-person limit, isn't it?
I would disagree, Your Honor.
I don't understand that. That would surely be damages sustained by someone else as a result of the bodily injury the person killed.
I think the key question is the interpretation as a result of, Your Honor. And I think many courts throughout the country, they're cited in our brief, have decided that the as a result of language doesn't mean but for. What the as a result of language means is it refers to derivative type injuries such as loss of consortium and loss of love and companionship, that the person does not have a bodily injury of their own, that their loss of companionship and loss of consortium arise solely out of the injury to the other person, and that if you have a bodily injury of your own...
No, but this is limited to damages because of bodily injury. That limitation would exclude it's only bodily injury damages that you can get, right?
Well, Your Honor,
before you get to the as a result?
Your Honor, I think in some states that loss of consortium or loss of love and companionship are defined within bodily injury, specifically within auto policies. And I think the Indiana Court of Appeals acknowledged that in the Medley v. Fry decision when it talked about how it would reach a different result if loss of consortium was contained within the definition of bodily injury in the auto policy. So I think that as a result of language is not as clear, at least in our opinion and the opinion
of... I don't understand what the consortium has to do with it. You just look at the words, all damage is sustained by anyone else as a result of that bodily injury, is a perfect description of the present case. I don't see where there's room for interpretation.
Your Honor, I think as a result of that, our claim is that Christina and Nichols' emotional distress injuries did not arise out of Kyle's death. It arose out of their own personal, physical, emotional injuries in this accident.
Well, that's gibberish.
Your Honor, with all due respect, I think several other...
Obviously. Anyway, you substituted now the rising out of language, but Kyle was killed, and they saw this, and they... experienced emotional distress, naturally, and that's what they want damages for. So the causality is extremely direct. And it's like saying if someone is shot, his injury is not a result of being shot, but of the result that, you know, he's made out of protoplasm rather than steel or something like that.
Your Honor,
that's what you're saying, right?
I think that your interpretation is one reasonable interpretation of some
states. No, I think it's the only one, I have to say, because, again, your argument that their emotional distress arose out of their own emotional condition, that's, they say, identical. You shoot someone, and maybe this person is in bad health, and so he's killed, but a normal person wouldn't be. You wouldn't say, well, his death arose from his being unhealthy. You'd say he was killed by the bullet, and it's the same here. Or in any bystander case.
You know, I think that's an interpretation that some states have made, but there are several other states that have not agreed with that interpretation. And I think that the footnote in the Medley decision indicates that the Indiana courts would not follow that line of reasoning. And that's one thing that I think it's important to keep.
And how would you advise Allstate to write its policy if it wants to limit these damages?
Your Honor, it could specifically include language of the but-for language, which you are advocating in this case, as an interpretation
mean?
Of that language. It could say that including all damages sustained by anyone else that would not have occurred but for the bodily injury to the other injured party. It could include a definition of bodily injury.
Of causation, the same as a result, is the language of causation, isn't it? I mean, what's the difference?
Your Honor, I think that many cases, and I will say that the Medley case would advocate this interpretation, is that if you have your own bodily injury, that your damages arise out of your own bodily injury and as a result of your own bodily injury.
Well, that's my bullet case, right?
Same I think
thing.
It is, Your Honor.
But that would be ridiculous. Does any state say that if someone is shot, the wound is not a result of being shot, but is a result of his own bodily condition? Has that ever been entertained?
Your Honor, I see your position, but I think that there are two schools of thought on the interpretation of this language in this context, and that needs to be kept in mind. And I think the important thing
well,
is what
one of them seems pretty nutty to me. Can you think of some reason why language should be twisted in the way you're suggesting?
Your Honor, I don't think it is a twisting. I think there's a pretty clear...
You don't think it's a twisting in the bullet case either?
I think it might be a twisting in the bullet case, but I don't think it's nearly as much of a twist in this case, Your Honor.
Why not? What's the difference?
There are at least, I think, 8 to 10 states that have adopted this interpretation.
No, What's the difference? Not what's the balance of cases. What's the difference?
Your Honor, in this case... as a result of, I think, it's different because there is a multi-party context here interpreting insurance policy language. I think that's a difference here. To be specific, the question is whether as a result of is solely a derivative claim or whether it's the primary claim of somebody who suffers their own bodily injury. And I think that's the difference in this case, Your Honor.
What's the difference between someone witnessing it and having the bodily injury, as you describe it? And as they're doing it, they call on their cell phone to another sibling, and that sibling experiences the trauma within seconds, though not at the scene. Would you say that they're both experiencing the emotional trauma because of their own bodily injury?
Your Honor, I think that gets to an important point in this case. Assuming that Indiana would follow the footnote in Medley and adopt the reasoning of other states that it would adopt the bodily injury test, if someone has sustained their own bodily injury, as a matter of law, it doesn't arise out of the other person's bodily injury. I think that brings us to your point. Then the question is, what is bodily injury?
Right.
And I think the important case in Indiana on that, as Counsel for Allstate has stated, is the Wayne Township versus Indiana insurance case, where in Wayne Township, the court held that the emotional distress claim constituted a bodily injury because there had been a touching in that case. And importantly, it stated that that was in harmony with Indiana law governing actions for emotional distress. In the hypothetical that you have pointed out, Judge Flom, there would not be a valid emotional distress claim under Groves or under DeChambre and his progeny before that, because the person wasn't on the scene and didn't actually see it.
Well, I'm not too conversant with these new phones that have the photo, but I guess they're pretty popular, and suppose the person's doing it, it's just describing how horrific it is, and it actually shows the scene. And I mean literally within seconds. Is that going to be a touching that's sort of an electronic touching?
Your Honor, I think at some point the states have to draw the line on what constitutes a valid claim for emotional distress and what doesn't. I think that Indiana, most states would draw the line at where they have in terms of the Grove decision currently in Indiana, and that they would not recognize that claim as a valid claim for emotional distress. I think the key decision in determining what is bodily injury under Indiana law is the Wayne Township case. And I think it is important that Wayne Township said that it's holding that the child molesting and emotional distress that arose from that in the Wayne Township case did constitute bodily injury.
Yes, but no, but there's no dispute that if the emotional distress arises from the bodily injury to the person experiencing emotional distress, then it's covered by the bodily injury liability. But here you have, in a bystander case, you have bodily injury to one person, emotional distress to another, and that's what this critical language in the policy is addressed to. I don't see how Wayne Township bears on this at all.
Well, Your Honor, I think that I would agree that if you believe that the footnote contained in the Medley decision and that Indiana would not adopt the bodily injury test as suggested in the Medley decision, if Indiana would adopt the but-for test, which Allstate advocates, that it doesn't make any difference what constitutes bodily injury.
Are you saying if Allstate used the language but-for that they would win in this circumstance?
I think they would, Your Honor. I think it would clearly mandate that test under the language of their policy.
But of course, the problem then people would say, "Oh, but for people know that's legal talk. People don't understand that. You shouldn't write insurance policies in law speak." As a result, is what people that's how non-lawyers talk about causal issues.
Your Honor, I think that these cases have been percolating throughout the country for over 12 years, and Allstate understood that that interpretation was being used and kept this language in place. It wasn't being blindsided in this case by a strange interpretation of those rules that it wasn't aware of throughout the country.
Do you actually have a bystander case decided in your favor under the same language as this insurance policy?
Yes, Your Honor. They're cited in our brief. On pages 7 and 8, there are several decisions that talk about emotional distress. The Trichel case from Montana, emotional distress from witnessing accident which killed her husband with independent injury, not subject to per-person limitation on her husband's claim. There are several others cited in our brief that have talked about bystander claims.
You don't quote the language of the policies in those cases. Are they identical to
that? They are, Your Honor, or similar.
Well, similar, could be critical, right?
It could be. I mean, it could be an even more narrow interpretation than we have in this case and be a stronger policy in favor of the Keltners and the Tozers in this case, Your Honor. But I think they are fairly standard in terms of the language that is used throughout the country on this issue. And back to Judge Flom's decision, I think the critical thing in determining if Indiana does use the bodily injury test as suggested by the Medley decision that it would, that it's language that determination of what constitutes emotional bodily injury is synonymous with the analysis of what constitutes a valid emotional distress claim. It used the touching analysis in Wayne Township because at the time, that's what was required under Indiana law to have a valid emotional distress claim. And I think that is consistent with the definition of bodily injury in the policy, which states that defines bodily injury as physical harm to the body, sickness, disease, or death. The definition of bodily injury doesn't have any independent requirement of a touching or a contact. The question is whether it constitutes emotional distress, and then emotional distress does fall within the definition of bodily injury. So I think it makes sense to use a synonymous test to determine whether something constitutes a valid emotional distress and to whether that emotional distress constitutes bodily injury. And if you use that analysis, Your Honor, that was in the Medley footnote, that Indiana would adopt the bodily injury test, and that analysis under the Wayne Township case, that leads to two important conclusions in this case. Number one is that because Allstate admits that Christina and Nicholas present valid claims for emotional distress, those claims constitute bodily injury within the definition of the policy. And under footnote in Medley.
Well, what do you think is the force of that exclusion in the policy? What would it exclude?
It would exclude, Your Honor, a loss of companionship case, a loss of, if say, a mother did not make an emotional distress claim.
You may finish.
May finish, Your Honor.
No, finish your thought.
Thank you. It would cover a loss of love and companionship case claimed by a mother. It would cover
just the consortium cases.
And it would cover the loss of consortium claims, Your Honor.
Let me just track that last. You say it would exclude a mother's loss of
love and companionship, Your Honor, because that would not constitute bodily injury.
The mother's at the site of like we have an analogous situation here?
And I think the mother could have, in that situation, Your Honor, could have a valid emotional distress claim and a loss of love and companionship claim under Indiana law. I think that would exclude the loss of love and companionship claim, but not necessarily the emotional distress claim.
Hasn't that started immediately, the loss of companionship upon the death?
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm just trying to see how difficult this would be to draw the line. I mean, you say that would be excluded. It seems to me that at least a degree of it would have been instant, the loss of companionship.
Well, it just would not constitute bodily injury, Your Honor, under that test.
Right.
I didn't get a chance to address the second issue of the waiver and estoppel argument.
We'll take that on the briefs.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Dietz.
Just briefly, Your Honors, to address the footnote in the Medley case, it strikes me that the entire basis of the district court decision in the plaintiff's case is the dicta contained in two footnotes, much of which no longer constitutes good law in the state of Indiana. With respect to the Medley case, the court stated in the dicta in the footnote that where the policy includes in the definition loss of consortium and loss of services in the definition of bodily injury, then it renders the loss of consortium a distinct bodily injury. Well, we don't have a case here where the policy definition of bodily injury included emotional distress claims arising out of witnessing an accident. So that footnote in Medley is simply of no consequence in this case. Finally, in conclusion, Your Honor, you asked the question of whether the counsel said loss of love and companionship would be excluded under the policy. I'm sure my client would be happy to hear that, as that's an element of damages for a child wrongful death case, and that's the first time I've ever heard a plaintiff's lawyer argue that that would be excluded under the terms of the Allstate policy. I think the point is that taking this exceedingly narrow view of what the policy says, there's nothing in the policy about derivative or anything else. The policy says what it says, that the sustained as a result of, there's no question the emotional distress damages was sustained as a result of the death of the brother. Thank you.
All right, thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court